Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. I'm going to be calling my guest for tonight, and we will be talking to her as soon as she answers the phone. And her name is Tina Krause. Many of you know her, I'm sure. She is an accomplished actress, has over 100 credits on IMDb, and hopefully she'll be answering. I hear it ringing. Hello, Tina. This is Matt.
Yes. Hi.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Good. We're on the air.
All right.
So, now, I know you graduated from the School of Visual Arts in New York City with a degree in graphic design and 3D illustration. That's very, very good, and I applaud you for that. Now, I know that you still work as an artist and a graphic designer, and that you kind of like do that between acting assignments. So can you talk about that for a little bit, about what it's like working as an artist and a graphic designer?
Yeah, I've done that for a while. I actually used to do a lot of websites and things like that. Right now, in between, I guess you could say in between gigs, I turned to doing fashion design right now. I own a shop in Jersey where we do a lot of, we make a lot of clothes and stuff, a lot of cosplay outfits. I'm working on a surf line. So, yeah, that kind of turned into like a side business for me.
Oh, good. A little extra money never hurts.
No, it doesn't. But it's a lot of work, I'm not gonna lie. It's a lot of work. So I do my own advertising, my own marketing, et cetera, all that wonderful stuff. So I guess it came into play, all across the board as far as like being able to promote yourself. I do a lot of that.
If you're able to do that and you're good at it, why not?
Sure. Go for it, right? Still in art.
Exactly. I'm sorry, were you going to say something else? Because sometimes there's an overlap and I can't tell if people are still talking.
Oh, no. I was just waiting for you.
Okay, sorry about that. Now, I also know that you have worked as a model. Are you still doing that at all?
Yes. I've been doing that, and I'm actually still doing that. In fact, I have a gig tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Is it one that you can tell about on the air, or is it something that you can't talk about?
No, it's a person that I know that has done some photography here and there, worked on a music video for a rap artist, and now he's been a photographer for a while, so he's got a series that he does, and recently we linked up, and now he's basically like, hey, let me know when you're ready to shoot, and I was like, okay, tomorrow. There you go. I know, random.
Well, yeah, but that's really, really cool when you've got, you've got the artists and graphic designing and acting, and you have people wanting you to model. So at least you've got people that are wanting you for these things, and you don't really have to, I mean, you do have to, don't get me wrong, because you still have to, like, work for it. But I mean, like, you don't have to run out as much and do it as what some other people might have to. I don't know if you know what I'm trying to say, and it's not a slight on you. It's actually a very big compliment.
No, I know exactly what you're trying to say. Like, it's a little bit easier if you have a background in whatever it is, like, for instance, here in acting, where you have a lot of fans and stuff like that, as opposed to somebody who doesn't, who kind of has to start from the ground up,
Right.
No, I got you on that. Yeah, no, it is easier in that sense. But of course, you know, getting there, you're getting to that status, you really have to take that other, I guess, that other role of the person who doesn't have, you know,
right.
All that background.
Oh, well, yeah, because everybody has to start from somewhere, no matter how big they are. They always started in some tiny little piece and probably didn't even get credit for it. And everybody had to start somewhere. Even the biggest big-name actors in the world had to start small.
Oh, yeah. Brad Pitt, I think when he was either 16 or 17, was in a low-budget horror film.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
But it was bad, but... I saw it when I was rummaging through something, and this was years ago. And I was like, I'm looking through like old films and shit. And I was like, let's just watch some like B stuff. You know, we were looking through it and I found something. And I'm like, I put it on and I was like, oh, this is so campy. And then like, I'm watching it and halfway through it. I'm like, wait a minute. Is that fucking Brad Pitt? Serious? And I was like, if it is, and it looks an awful lot like him. And at the end of the credits, it was Brad Pitt. And I was like, oh, my God, he was in a low-budget horror film. Okay, cool.
That's
and then
funny.
I was like, and then I felt invigorated. I was like, I don't care what anybody says. Brad Pitt was in a low-budget horror film. So. There you have it.
Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Them. It's a really old movie, like 50s. Mm-hmm. It's a good movie, though. It's about giant
ants. I love
ants.
That movie.
Oh, good. So then I don't have to explain it to you. Now, a lot of people don't know this. You probably do, though, that Clint Eastwood was in that. But he didn't really have a line or anything. He was one of the people that was in the airplane when they were, like, bombing the ants. And he was just, like, on the screen for, like, a second. And that was his first thing, Clint Eastwood.
That's
what I mean. I mean, look how small he started.
Right, and he didn't even have a speaking role.
Right. Now, when was it that you realized you wanted to be in, I say filmmaking because you actually do more than just acting, and we'll get to that in a little bit. So when did you realize that you wanted to be in the filmmaking business?
Okay, so when I was younger, the first thing I ever said was I'm never ever, the one thing I never want to be is an actress. No, I'm dead serious. I was hell bent that I would never ever go into acting because I did not want to fucking memorize shit. I didn't want to study. I didn't want to learn nothing. I was like, nope, I'm not doing this. All this looks like it's like trying to study for social studies. I'm like, no way. Right? Never say never. So that time goes by, and I'm studying graphic design and arts and stuff like that, right? All to get away from the one thing that I said I'm never going to do, which I wound up doing. So I guess I would say the first time that I started doing some horror films would be the first time that I ever did, like, I don't know, the more EI Cinema. When I started doing stuff for EI Cinema, I just fell into it and I was in like a groove and I was like, wow, I really like being in like the film industry. And then I started looking into other things, not just acting, but like behind the scenes and, you know, how do you do this and blah, 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 and production design, et cetera, et cetera. So I was learning both behind the scenes and in front of the scenes, but it really just had to do with I would say about the time that I was doing the stuff for EI Cinema, which was like a while back.
Well, yeah. Not that far.
Because
you're not that old.
Right? No. Not 80.
You've got a long and impressive resume, and obviously we won't get to all of your acting credits because you've got like 124 of them on IMDb. So you may not even be aware of that because a lot of people aren't aware of how many acting credits they have. So, but obviously we're not going to get to 124 because it's only an hour show and we've already gone through 10 minutes. So the first one I believe that you did, and it's the first one on IMDb, is Love is a Stranger, and you acted in that. So tell us about that one, like how did you get it, like a short synopsis, and if it was a good experience for you, et cetera.
Okay, I'm gonna make you laugh. I don't remember that one.
You know what? That happens. That's okay.
I don't remember that one. I'd have to look at it. If it's a Wave production one, it's going to be wrapped up with like $500,000 of them because the way we shot, we didn't finish. Oh, God, I hate saying this. We would shoot, but we would never finish the movie, and we would shoot and start another movie and never finish that. And shoot and start another one and never finish that and then come back
Aww.
And finish them all. No, he would start them, but he would come back and finish them all. So you lose your reference and time frame of when things were done. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
you started it and you went through several different ones and never finished them. And then he comes back and he's like, okay, so do you remember 10 years ago when we did? Well, we're finishing that one.
I hate to interrupt you, but we do have a caller, so I'm going to
sure.
see if they're still there. Caller, are you still there?
I am.
Can
you hear me?
Dave?
Sounds like Dave.
It is.
Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Hi there. Hi, Tina. How have you been?
What's up? How are you?
It's been a few years.
Yeah, I see. You got a cat.
Yeah. Five, or actually six now.
Holy shit, you're Catman.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm cat dad, cat everything, I guess.
We're going to do a YouTube series on you, cat dad. Da-da-da-da-da. Cat dad.
That's it, yeah, exactly. No, I was tuning in. I think, I'm not sure if you, when I first got online, it almost sounded like you were talking about Wave because you said you finish up things like maybe years later and
that's Wave.
Yeah. I was gonna say, that sounds a lot like Wave.
This is my witness.
Which is how we met, pretty much how we met.
Yes. As a matter of fact, one of the things that he was finishing up, I just started on Wave, and I believe you were already with them, right? If I'm not mistaken, for like...
Yeah, I was with them for a few years before you came
yeah,
on.
Yeah, with Dawn, right?
Yeah. She came later, too, though, actually. I think you were before her.
Oh, was I? I can't remember. God.
Yeah, it's been a long time. The only reason I know that is because I started with them in around 1990, and I saw people come and go, and then I saw regulars sticking around like you and Laura and Pam and Dawn. So I saw a lot of people come and go too that never came back, but you were one of the ones that stuck around for a while.
Well, Dave, think about this. I'm going to put you in a headlock and then put you in handcuffs and then chain you to the wall.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's definitely a Wave scenario.
Yeah, we had some fun times. I'm not going to lie about that. Oh, my God,
yes.
How funny.
You know
yes.
what I wanted to ask you, Tina, speaking of
yes.
all those old movies, like, do you remember what was your very first Wave movie? I'm trying to figure out if it was Sorority Slaughter or was it actually Hung Jewelry, because I know Sal shot some footage of you for my movie Love is a Stranger, and it never, by the time he got
that's
around to
why,
editing this movie.
That's why I couldn't, I was like, it never really got, okay, I was like, I don't remember.
Yeah, because it was never, like, I never got the footage till after the movie was done, but then I realized he ended up putting it in the movie Hung Jury, which ironically was my first Wave movie. And then I used the footage that he shot for Hung Jury. I put it back into Love is a Stranger when I decided to reissue the movie because it made more sense.
Right. Gosh, between the two, you know, it's a toss-up because, like I said, he's back and forth with stuff, and
yeah,
I feel like he
yeah.
shot some of that at the same time because he would shoot, again, a piece of one movie, not finish it, and then go right into another movie.
Right, that's the way it always was. I never felt like I was finishing anything, with the exception of Hung Jury. I mean, he did eventually finish it years later, but it
yeah.
was like, you know, after I did all these other things for him. So, yeah, so it's pretty much the same as what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm going to say...
I think Sorority Slaughter was the first thing we worked on together, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
That is the first thing that you and I worked on together, yes. That is
that's
the
what
first.
I thought.
Yeah, that's definitely
okay.
the first. Is it the very first? I think it is the very first one I did. I mean, actually, no. The very first one I did was shot. Okay, here's a little trivia for you guys.
Okay.
The very first one that I shot was shot in, remember when Avery was still working with us?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Okay, and we shot it at Fairleigh Dickinson in May when they did the conventions.
Oh.
And it was
oh,
a
yes.
strangling scene. That was my very, 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 very first one because I didn't even know them, and I literally did the scene at the convention.
That was the same convention that we all met at, right?
Yep.
So that's right, because I remember you shooting something with them, you know, the same
outside.
Weekend we met. Yeah.
Yeah, outside the convention, like literally.
Wow.
I have a history of getting strangled.
Yeah, you've definitely been through a lot over the years.
Oh, yeah, like how many ways can you die?
Yeah.
I am deaf. No, just... no, yeah. Okay. Wow, Jesus. Oh, my God, time goes by. All right.
It does. Doesn't it fly? So, yeah, I mean, I couldn't remember exactly myself. I was pretty sure Sorority Slaughter was the one we first worked on together that we were actually in together, but I couldn't remember what the very first one, and I forgot all about them shooting footage of you that same weekend that we met.
Right. Holy crap.
But I just, you know, I wanted to really say hi and see how you're doing. I don't want to take up, you know, I told Mac I didn't want to take up a lot of your time. I know you got a lot of stuff that you probably want to talk about, so, you know, I did want to ask you one thing. Did you ever get a copy of Love is a Stranger? Did Ross Snyder get you a copy when he released it?
No.
Oh, because he was supposed to send you one. So if you want, when you have time, PM me your mailing address, and I'll get a copy to you if you want one.
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
Okay.
Maybe that'll help her remember it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just, it is a really short scene, and you are being strangled in the scene, so so you'll probably recognize it when you see it, that it was from
like,
the
oh,
Hung Jury movie. I'm not, but yeah,
I'm like,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
If you PM me your mailing address, I'll get a copy to you.
Awesome, Dave. That sounds good.
Well, it's been so great talking to you again after all these years. Hopefully it's not years from now that we're talking again. But
I mean, you know, if Gary ever starts shooting again after COVID, then I'll probably see you again.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Or maybe on something else, you know, outside of
week. There you go. That could work too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best wishes to you and Mac. And I hope you both enjoy the rest of your night. And I'm going to sign off for now and let you two continue. So thank you, Mac, for letting me call in and say hi to an old friend.
Oh, no,
all right.
No problem. Thanks for calling in.
It was good talking to you, Dave.
Great talking to you.
It was good talking to you.
Keep in touch, both of you.
I will.
Thanks.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Now I remember.
Okay. Yeah. He's a really sweet guy.
No, he's super nice. He's really fun.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about one of those ones that you did in 1994.
Okay.
Rana, Queen of the Amazon.
Oh, my God.
Well, the reason why I picked that, because I tried to pick ones that you had done more than acting in. Not every single one that I picked, but I tried to do that with, like, most of these. And you acted, and you were the makeup artist in that, so that's mainly the reason why I picked it. So tell us about working on that one.
Okay.
If you remember.
Well, yes, that I won't forget. Okay, besides the fact that the outfits were absolutely ridiculous and funny as hell, so that's one of Wave Productions usually doesn't have a very, what I want to say, a large cast. They usually use like a very minimal cast, and it's usually the same people, right? Okay, great. This was the one time that they had, I don't know, the cast was actually pretty large with a lot of people in it. And he wanted to do like this like jungle theme, Rana theme, and then he wanted to mix it with like the Nazis and, oh Lord, and like all these evil doctors and stuff. Anyway, so there's like, of course, there's going to be blood, gore, and there's going to be like, you know, makeup, to, you know, jungle makeup. So I wasn't really supposed to do makeup. It just turns out that they didn't have a makeup artist, and I knew how to do it because I was doing it for my film. So I was like, all right, I can help you out with it. There was one at one point, probably the funniest point. He got really hungry in the middle of the shoot, and I was playing a Nazi doctor, and I had blood on the doctor's outfit, and they gave me like a lab robe and whatever, right? And I was so hungry, I just could not wait to like finish the scene. I was like, all right, we're on break. I ran to the local deli, but I never changed. And I still had lab gloves on, and they were covered in blood and everything. And I'm ordering like a bologna sandwich with like cheese and mustard. And I'm like, why are these people looking at me like I'm crazy? And then I realized, like, I caught my reflection in the mirror, and I was like, oh my God, I forgot to take off the cut. I just went along with it. I was like, if you can hurry, guys, I've got a surgery I have to get to. And I've never seen such weird looks. I feel like, oh, my God. Like, I think they just hurried it because they just wanted me out of the store. But no one questioned the surgery at all. Funny, I've done that several occasions, but you have a little humor, whatever. The cops get called on me, it's gonna happen. Shit.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh no,
that's
it's happened.
Funny. No,
it's
it
happened.
Has happened.
Yes, it has. Oh. On my own damn set. I almost got arrested on my own set. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with those people?
No. My special effects guy thought that a really nice, quick cleanup, and, you know, God bless his ingenious thoughts. We were shooting in Jersey City at the time, and it was very bad. It was like in the early 90s. we were out in the mid-90s. And Jersey City was pretty bad back then. And where I was living was in a warehouse. So it was in the middle of, like, the ghetto and all the bad shit. So anyway, the cleanup, we had a bloody scene. He decided, he went into the dumpster, grabbed a mattress, and threw it on top of the fake blood to absorb the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then threw it back into the dumpster. So when the cleaning people came in the next day at 5 a.m. to pull out the dumpsters and load them into the garbage, they just found, like, a giant bloody mattress.
Oh, boy.
It's called the police.
Well, yeah, so I can understand that. I thought you were saying that somebody on the set called the police on you.
Oh, no, no, no. The cleaning people did. Shut the production down for the whole day. They thought someone got murdered. There was a whole yellow tape around the building. I was wondering where everybody was. I was like, the whole crew just fucking decided not to show up. Like, what's up? Turns out they couldn't get in the building. Nobody could. And everybody in the building, you know, eventually they knocked on my door asking me if I saw someone at, like, some stupid hour of the morning running through the hallways. I was like, no. And they were like, well, somebody got murdered. I was like, whoa. But that's before, I guess, they tested, you know, what was on the fucking bed, realizing now it's sugar and not blood.
Yeah, but at least they tried to take care of what they thought it was, which is better than what some police departments would do.
True. Oh. That's true. Yeah, that was a fun day.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being facetious. So.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna fast forward and because just in the interest of time, and if we have time after talking about the newer ones, because I do want to make sure to go over the newer ones, like the ones you have upcoming, and then if we have time, I'll go back to the older ones. So there's this one called Trap. According to IMDb, it's in post-production. You acted in that, and you were a costume designer and a set decorator. So tell us about that one.
Okay. Trap is not a horror movie. It is a gangster movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's not your typical gangster movie either. It's shot really different. I would have to say it's along the lines of, like, a Harmony Korine film, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
And it's, yeah, the way it's shot, the way the story's told. So, yeah, it's a lot more, there was a lot of not only set design for it, but location scouting for that. You know, yeah, costume designing for it, everything. That was a little bit more of a slightly bigger, I guess you could say, production than the norm that I work on. I worked on a few big productions, but this one's, like, up there with being pretty technical and stuff like that. I don't want to give away the plot because it's almost finished. and almost ready to be out there. And I probably can't give away the plot for other reasons too, but, I will say this, it's definitely worth checking out. A lot of action, you know, a lot of everything. And it's, I guess you could say, cinematography wise, it's shot really well, really well. I already saw the dailies and stuff like that. So yeah, it's excellent.
Well, that's one thing that I look for when I do my reviews, because I'm a semi-professional movie reviewer, and one of the main things that I look at is cinematography. So if you've got good acting, good director, and a good acting and cinematography, you'll pretty much get a good review from me.
Oh, no. This is going to be something – it's definitely a role that I it's not my normal role, I guess you could say. I play
I play the it's me and my sister, and we basically we rob people, and I, you know, get involved in like a drug thing with gangs and shit like that. But I'm also a little bit of a recluse, where I just do like absolutely crazy shit. And like I rob a truck driver and take his like a tractor trailer, and I actually drive off with his goods and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is not. Yeah, it is completely opposite of so many things I've played before. Completely opposite. There's a lot of like hard to swallow scenes. Yeah, it's definitely more of like what's happening in society today, rather than like, you know, a horror film or something like that, where it's kind of like fantastic, you know, theories and stuff like that, and thoughts and whatever, you know, storylines and stuff. This is more of like right. What would actually happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So, yeah,
and that'll actually be good for you, I think. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no. I saw some of it, and I was, and I'm, you know, again, I'm not used to playing, not that I can, of course I can, but, you know, I'm just, it's not my normal character to play, and I saw some of it, and I was like, holy shit, like, that's pretty impressive. I was like, all right, yeah, I kind of like playing the role, I'm good.
Well, that'll be good for your fans to see you doing that. That'll be good for them, and they'll love you even more.
I can't wait for it to come out. I really can't, actually. I'm going to do pretty much everything I can to push the movie, just because it's like, I saw the outcome of it, and it's not even completely finished and, you know, fully edited. And what I've seen is pretty damn good. So I can't even imagine what this is going to look like when it's completely edited. I'm pretty psyched to see. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'll be looking for that one.
I hope so. Yeah, definitely.
There's another one that's in, supposedly, according to IMDb, that's what I'm going by, in post-production that you acted in called My Last Best Friend. So tell us whatever you can tell us about that one.
Okay. I play a bartender, but I was also the location scout for some of that. And I helped with some of that production design. Eric Roberts is in it. And I play alongside him. And I don't have like a big role. Again, I'm just the bartender, but most of it was like being a location scout, working with a director. I've worked with the director. He, you know, would sit there and tell me the story plot. I know him for years, actually. He was actually my photographer for a little while. Yes. So eventually, he was like, yeah, we were talking about movies and stuff. And he's like, oh, you know, I'm a director. And I'm like, yeah, so I am too. And, you know, eventually we're talking. He was going to have me work on a movie prior to that one. But because COVID hit and the cast was huge, he couldn't, they wouldn't allow him to do it. And, you know, it was a SAG thing, union, stuff like that. So he wrote this literally within a month or two, wrote the entire script, and I don't know how he got Eric Roberts or anybody else on this. I don't know how, but he did. And all of a sudden, I get this call, and he's like, are you ready to work on the film? I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right, we're going to do this, that, and the other. And I'm like, wait a minute, I thought you were going to, like, get Eric. He's like, yeah, I got Eric Roberts. We're good. I'm like, what?
Cool.
So, yeah, I just wound up working on that. It was shot in New York for the most part, between Queens and Long Island, pretty local. It was pretty good. It was a good shoot. You know, Felipe is excellent as a director, and it was really good. It was a good shoot.
Well, one of the things that I know about a lot of the bigger name actors, a lot of them will help the small guy because they remember what it was like when they were up and coming. And then there's also the thing that with COVID and everything and not having really any thing coming out of Hollywood, they're getting bored. That's that's actually what one friend told me, that he got Eric Roberts to be in his movie, and he said that he never thought that he'd get him. He just thought, hey, I'm going to ask him. The worst he can say is no. And so he asked him, and Eric Roberts actually said to him that he was bored and that he'd be glad to do. So, I mean, I don't know about, you know, the person you're working with. It could be the same thing. Maybe he's just bored because he doesn't have anything to do.
Maybe. I mean, you know, he just basically told me, he talked to his agent. They settled the deal, and that was that, you know. But that could be it. And, I mean, like, this is a perfect time, honestly. I had this talk with a couple of friends of mine, too, because we're also directors. Like, my film just got picked up as well. So I'm just like, all right, we really need – this is a time where, like, Hollywood is kind of – not on a lockdown, but a little bit, you know, because of COVID and stuff. There's only so much they can do now, you know, and they got to follow rules. And it's going to be very slow moving. I'm like, but us independent people, we don't have SAG regulations and shit like that. I'm not saying go hunky-dory and run out there with 100 fucking million people and shoot your shit, you know, but I'm saying while you can, this could be your open door, you know. It really could be. If you're smart enough to write something that doesn't involve a big cast or crew and very minimal on locations, and you're a really good writer and you got a really good actor, this is your open door. This is it right now.
Yeah.
This is it. This is what I'm taking advantage of. You know, I'm writing my second film, you know, and hopefully I can get this done really quickly and shoot it. Which is kind of where I'm at right now, which is kind of what that guy did. He wrote it right away, took advantage of the, you know, opportunity, you know, I can get this, that, and the other, and nobody's going to bother me, and no one's going to fight with me, you know? So, like, this is a perfect opportunity to do it. I mean, like, it's smart, and I say to anybody who's an indie filmmaker right now, while Hollywood can't put certain things out because of all the restrictions, jump on this. You only get one shot, you know.
Yeah, and you can even still do it while following some restrictions in the indie filmmaking too, because I know that I have quite a few filmmaker friends, and they're following the regulations, but they're still popping out these films because they're able to get away with, like you say, they're able to get away with doing a little bit less or more, whichever way you want to look at it, than they do in Hollywood. So you are very correct.
Oh, no, we follow the restrictions. We even have, like, COVID tests.
Oh, no, I know that. I was just, like, agreeing with you. I'm sorry.
No. I want to make sure that nobody thinks, like, just jump out there. Who gives a fuck about COVID? No. I'm not trying to promote people getting sick, all right?
I'm sorry if anybody took what I said as she was saying that, because I didn't think that's what she was saying. So hopefully nobody took that from that.
Yeah.
So thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, guys, don't go out there and just shoot stuff and not wear your masks and stuff. That's not what we're saying. I can see it right now. Tina gets a lawsuit. Terrific.
And then I get a bunch of hate mail. Right. Max telling people to go out and make movies.
We got everybody sick. No, guys.
Oh boy. there's another movie that supposedly is in post production, according to IMDb, that you acted in, and you may have done other stuff too. But all I know is what IMDb told me, and that one is Bloody Nun 2: The Curse. So tell us about that one.
So Bloody Nun 2: The Curse. So it's, you know, it's your typical horror, you know, fun slasher, cheesy ghost nun comes back from the demon dead, right, and slaughters everybody. It's kind of one of those things, you know, it's like your
your high school kid or college students go out to have fucking party fun and they summon a demon and it's the bloody nun. Right? So we're still waiting for this to come, to actually come out. We shot it. It was a lot of fun to shoot. I'm not sure if it's just an editing thing, I think, that might be on delay. You know, I'm not 100% sure, but we're still waiting for it to come out because I want to see it. Because there is a scene in there that is absolutely fucking ridiculous, and I need to see it. I just need to see how it came out. So in the middle, there's there's one scene where this guy gets his penis chopped off, and somehow it rolls over to me.
And you pick it up?
Yes, and then I have an attack and throw it across the room. We're kind of playing like hot potato with this guy's severed penis. So for nothing else, for absolutely nothing else, I have to see this scene. I do. I have to sit back and, excuse me for saying this, roll a joint and fucking watch this, because I feel like I'm gonna have the biggest laughter I've ever had in my entire existence. I think I might be in tears. I might be. And I'm so excited to see it. I really am. I was like, I really want to push him to do another one because that was really fun. It was a fun shoot. It was right on Long Island by the beach. Beach house, right there. Oh. Fucking great. He did the shoot, he walked down the block, went to the beach. And all I could think of was, if anybody, because it's like a rich neighborhood, I wonder if anybody knew what the fuck was going on in that house. Probably not.
Probably not.
No.
That sounds like I'd want to see that movie.
Yeah, I want to see it. I'm waiting. I'm like, come on.
And you were in it.
It's great.
It reminds me of this, not that it's anything like it really, but just that one part about the penis reminds me of this movie, and I won't take too much time because, you know, this is supposed to be your show, but it was a zombie movie, and some of the zombies were smart zombies and some of the zombies were dumb zombies. So one of the smart zombies, he was in this bathroom and he was hiding because he was being hunted down by the bad zombies. And so he went to crawl out the window and the bad zombie had a hold of his penis. And so because he was a zombie, it actually came off. And so... And so the bad zombie is standing there looking at this penis, and he goes, ooh, and then he sniffs it, and then he throws it real far away, because he went, oh, like it stunk.
Oh, my God. What is the name of this movie?
You know, I don't know. I only saw, like, I came into, like, in the middle of it, and it was on cable, and I have no idea what the name of it was.
I gotta find something. That's funny. That's worth taking up the time. That is funny.
Yeah, it was some teen thing. There were teenage zombies. That might even have been the name of it, Teenage Zombies. I'm not sure because, like I said.
Oh, my God.
That's the problem when you see stuff on cable and you come in after it's already started. Yeah, it may be good. You can enjoy it and everything, but you don't really have any idea what you're watching.
What you just watched. You're like, what's the name? What is the name of this? I'm like, okay, and credits roll. Title? No? All right.
Yeah, and they don't always say it at the end. Or it's in such small print that you don't see it. You know, especially being on cable, because sometimes they'll have the stuff go by real fast. It's like boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom, boom.
It rolls really fast. Like you have like micro reading technology.
Yeah.
Let me scan this. Oh, I got it all. Thank you. Just keep rolling it really fast. Yeah. All right. I'm a speed reader. We're good.
Okay. I better get on to one of your other films here.
Okay.
It's supposed to be in pre-production. Supernatural Assassins. So whatever you can tell us about that one.
I really can't tell you too much about that because that's basically, I just pretty much signed on to saying, yes, I'll be involved in it. But I haven't really gotten a script yet for it. They're still working on like a whole bunch of stuff. It's going to be shot out in California. Yeah, they're still casting. They still got a big, huge casting list. And it's going to be kind of like a Marvel's comic kind of a thing with the characters and everything like that. And I really am not at liberty to say too much about it, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. And that's why I put it the way I did, whatever you could say, because especially when they're in pre-production, I know that there's not a whole lot usually that people can say about it.
But what I would say is if you were going to look at it as like Superman, Batman, all those, like, obviously it's not going to be those characters, but it's going to be different characters, brand new made up characters. Apparently, from what I gather, they have like a very human side to them. So there's a backstory to everybody. So this should be pretty good. And it almost, to me, the way it was presented to me, and when I talked to Jonathan Moody about my character and the characters in this whole, you know, this whole film Entourage, which is going to be like, it seems like it's going to be pretty epic from what I can gather. There is a lot of characters that come into play. There's a lot of like Marvel type characters, like heroes and villains and stuff like that. But they all have this like dual side to them, you know? So I'm still waiting for the script, like the full script and stuff. It's going to be a while, I think, before we get everything. Because, again, like I said, he's still casting and, you know, trying to get all the people that he wants, all the ducks in a row. And then I guess once that's settled, we'll get everything going.
Cool. Yeah, I know Jonathan. Not like personally. I've known him for a few years on Facebook, so when you said Jonathan Moody, I was like, oh, yeah, Jonathan Moody.
Yep. He's been promoting it a lot, so, you know, I'm pretty sure he's pretty close to getting to where he needs to be with this.
Yeah, it does sound like it.
Yep.
You've got enough. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, everything's good. I didn't say anything.
Okay. Okay, then we'll have that overlap again. You got another one that's in pre-production that you acted, production designer, and I've heard of this one because I had somebody else that was also involved in this one, Z Dead End. So tell us what you can about that one.
Oh, wow. Okay, so in the beginning, Robert Restro Films, right, he contacted me, and in the beginning, I was playing the sheriff. And we did, like, a teaser trailer, okay? I think, like, maybe, like, a year ago or so. We did a teaser trailer for it, and basically, it's a zombie film, but it's kind of, obviously, I read the script and stuff like that because I'm the production designer for this one now, right? And I am playing a part, but I'm not playing the sheriff. I was playing the sheriff, and then they got a bigger name to play, which is fine, and you know what? I think they should. So I'm all for that, so, you know, good. And he was a little worried that I'd be mad about it, but I'm like, no. Like, I'm like, you know, you gotta, you know, if you can get a bigger name in this and we can all, you know, work on it, then fuck it, do it, you know? I would if I were the director, you know?
Yeah.
So, basically, we did the trailer for it, and it is a... Now, I can't give too much of it away, but...
Right.
it's a zombie film that is not your typical zombie film. It kind of goes into an apocalyptic end, and it's like three different types of zombie, like alien zombies, human zombies, and then there's another type of zombie that comes into play. And it's all these different things, and it has something to do with the government. Well, I don't, again, I don't want to give it away, so I can only be brief on this. But very exciting, huge cast, a fucking shit ton of action, a shit ton. There's going to be fighting scenes. I am the head production designer on it and the location scout for it. We did locate a scout. I think as of right now, it's probably going to be shot in Connecticut because I found like an abandoned town. So we need one.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be a huge amount of production design on it. It's going to be a big, 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 big job. Yeah, it is. There's so much shit going in on this. There's zombies falling out of the sky, jet fighter pilots. Yeah, there's a lot of shit. SWAT teams, tons. I just finished going. I was in Philly, actually, looking at guns and SWAT team outfits to, you know, fit everything for this film. So, and I did. I got a good buddy of mine kind of gave me a whole bunch of stuff and was like, you can rent the entire outfits. I'll give it to you for pretty cheap. You know, I've got pretty much everything in there. And yeah, it's just, it's falling into place. It's going to be a very, it's a pretty decent sized budget. I don't know that I'm allowed to say the budget, so I'm not going to because I'm going to get in trouble. But it's decent.
Right.
It's bigger than most.
Well, good. That means that it should come out a little bit better than most.
Oh, no. There is. It's definitely being shot on, like, really high-end equipment. It's a full crew. It's full lighting crew. Full everything. This is not a small. This is not going to be a micro-budget at all by any means. And there's quite a few names coming on it. So, yeah. It will be. It'll definitely be up there with budgets. And it's good because it would be like probably the second really big budget or third really big budget movie that I, you know, worked on. So, yeah, I can use it.
Well, I think we're only going to have time to go over one other one, which actually works out pretty good because there was only one other of the new ones left that I didn't go to yet. We've got about 6 minutes, and I'm just telling you that so you know, keep that in mind as you're telling us about it. It's supposed to be in pre-production as well. You acted, and were associate producer, and I don't know what else because IMDb didn't tell me. But Brain Hunter New Breed, tell us what you can about that one.
Okay, Brain Hunter New Breed. So, again, that's another Robert Restrepo. So I'm working on these two back-to-back. I'm the production designer for both of them and, you know, doing, you know, some wardrobe and X, this, that, and the other. And I'm also acting in both of them. Brain Hunter New Breed is, I think, going to be shot partially in New York. And I don't know where we're going to shoot the rest of it because it's still kind of, I guess you could say, in productions. So to speak, I will be doing everything back to back. So once I'm done, once I'm done with this one, I go straight to that one, and that's what we're kind of doing. We're kind of working, you know, we're teetering things back to back so that we don't lose the momentum and we get these things done and out the, you know, can and out the door and on the screen. There's not too much I could tell you about Brain Hunter because it's second to Z Dead End, and Z Dead End is going to get done first. So most of my focus is on that right now. And that's got put on the back burner until we finish getting everything for this one.
Okay. Well, we got We got like 4.5 minutes, and so if you want to take a little bit of time, since you can't talk about that one much, I'll go back to an old one and just like talk for a couple of minutes about it. Limbo, because you acted and you directed and you wrote that one. So give a short synopsis and just like a short little thing about working on that one.
Limbo is mine. I wrote, directed, shot it, acted, did all the cinematography for that. It just got picked up and distributed. What is it? Vinegar Syndrome picked it up. It played in out in Austin, Texas, in the Alamo Draft House. Mm-hmm. It played in the Fantastic Film Fest.
Cool.
I did a whole, I was out there for it, did a whole directorial for it. It was in the theaters for like maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. In different theaters too. It wasn't just that one. That one it played for one day, I think. And then in other places it played. But yeah, it finally got picked up and is now in distribution. That movie is about purgatory. It's very, very strange. The way, if you look up what people described it as, the AGFA describes it as a cross between David Lynch and Marilyn Manson. If those two had a baby, that's what this film would be. And yes, it was meant to be. Limbo was my retaliation against the horror industry, to be honest with you. I got really sick and tired. I love horror, but I got really pissed off when it turned into like almost porn in a weird way. Like it just went south for some reason. And I was like, well, this isn't horror. This is porn now, with the excuse of blood and, you know, gore. Like, and then, this is crazy. And it's nothing scary about it at all. So, like, I was like, all right, I'm not doing this. And this was my retaliation against it, because somebody had said to me, oh, you don't like the way horror is going. Make your own movie. See how hard that is. I bet you can't do it. Yeah. The worst thing you could ever do is challenge me. I will fucking do it. And I did it, and I never expected it to get picked up, and here we are 20 years later. I shot that 20 years ago. Here we are 20 years later. By the way, that movie has no special effects, and what I mean by that, there's no computer effects in that whatsoever. That movie was completely edited VHS deck to VHS deck. There was, it was deck to deck editing with a VHS tape. I'm not kidding. That's how I edited that movie. So everything that's done on that was done literally right then and there. Like, all special effects were done on the scene at that time, old school style. No post, nothing like that. No special effects, no green screen, nothing. Yeah, that's some old school shit. And it's still getting, I have gotten several people like, wow, I didn't even know this was out there.
Well, I'm glad for you that it got distributed. And we're down to our last minute. And they do let you go for a couple of minutes over. But I wanted to make sure that you told people the best way to contact you. Like, you never know, somebody might want to offer you a job or something. So what is the best way to contact you?
Okay, you can either do it through Facebook, Tina Kraus, or you can go on my Instagram, which is SpaceMonkey7777. And you'll see a lot of... You'll see a lot of the stuff on there, even the places that I scout, because I scout a lot of abandoned buildings and a lot of crazy locations that nobody knows about, just weird, weird stuff. And I've gotten, actually, a lot of the times I get called on to sets because I have, like, I can get them in locations and stuff like that. So, yeah, you can see that all on Instagram, and I'll be updating my Facebook, too, with all the new stuff. So, yeah. And you can always just go on Google. You never know what I'm working on.
Okay, our time has run out. So sorry, I had to interrupt you there. So I really liked having you on the show. You're fun, entertaining, and just to remind people of who you are, this is Tina, has been Tina Krause, exceptional actress, director, and all kinds of other things. Check her out on IMDb. And Tina, thank you once again for being on the show. Have a good night.
All right, you too, Mac. Have a great evening. I hope to see you soon and talk to you in the future.
Okay, yeah, me too. Thanks. Good night.
All right. Good night, dear.
Bye.